This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddie, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddie in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddie and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
So cut the crap.
I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie. Won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. I'm dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer consigliere. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. That's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in Progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here the day before Thanksgiving. We're doing it for you, talking about the Patriots and the Bears coming up on Sunday. A lot to talk about there. And according to Bill Belichick today in his press conference, there's absolutely no way in God's green earth that the Patriots are going to beat the Bears this weekend.
No way.
After going up and down the list of strengths that this Bears team has, I don't see a way. Of course, that's just Bill being Bill, but still,
According to him, they couldn't beat the Saints last year either.
You know, so, but in some respects, this time he's right, because the Bears do have a solid team, and up and down offense, defense, special teams. It's going to be a tough game for the Patriots, a big challenge, and one that we're looking forward to, because the Patriots need to beat a team with a winning record. What do you mean, eh? You're not looking forward to this game?
Didn't I watch the Patriots beat the Vikings and the Packers 66-7?
Yeah.
Aren't those four games that the Bears play each year? Not to mention that the one team I didn't talk about, the Lions, are worse than both of those teams.
Right.
So I'm telling you, the Bears are overrated. I think it'll be a good win. I'm not taking anything away from that. I don't think it'll be a good win. I think as far as being 9-1 and considered one of the best teams in football, I don't think that the Bears are one of the best teams in football.
You might be right there, but as far as a matchup against these Patriots, I think
they match up pretty well.
This is a tough game for the Patriots. Yeah.
I think they're a little overrated. I think the Patriots are going to win by double digits in this game.
Well, I hope you're right. As I said, Bill Belichick had his press conference today, and he went over the Bears. Tom, you were in the locker room. What was going on in there?
I wasn't in there.
Why didn't you go in there?
Because I had work to do, and I already got all my quotes.
Oh.
And we had three members from PFW in there.
So we'll hear an update from that later?
Yeah. Okay. My guess is nothing. I mean, what are you expecting? I'll tell you what. Artrell Hawkins was in there, and he talked. And, you know, I bet you Roosevelt Colvin was in there, and he talked. And the two other people that always talk to the media talked.
You never know. There could be a confrontation. You never know what's going on.
And we had our chance for that. We missed it. We blew it.
Mike Vrabel put a Ohio State jersey on Brady's shoulder pads.
Okay, well, that's good.
He has to wear it this week because he lost the bet for the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Right. Field turf is in. It's painted.
And now there's something I have done. I want everyone to know. I know there's questions out there. I've stepped on the field. I've tested it. It has met my approval. It's fine.
So you made some cuts?
I was working out. I'll tell you what, that stuff is great. I honestly think that in like remember when computers came out and they were these big, huge things that only companies had? Now everyone has one.
Right.
I'm telling you, they're going to find a way to get this to the general public. I love that stuff. It looks like grass. It feels like grass. You don't have to mow it.
You just sweep it.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't put this in sooner. I love it.
Now I heard that the rubber is going to be brown. Is that true? Did you check out?
I didn't see any brown rubber. I saw black rubber.
Okay. Well, then that may not be true.
But it passed the Casale test.
Oh yeah, it feels like grass. I'll tell you what though, people have asked about the surface itself. They say that the times are faster at Indianapolis with this surface over AstroTurf. That's crap. Players are faster. There's no way that surface is faster than AstroTurf. You can't get a surface faster than that. I mean, that is straight rug.
Right.
And this is actual grass. If you, like, when you watch New Orleans play on TV, I can't really tell if that's grass or not. It looks so much like grass.
Right.
But I don't think I think the surface will be better because of the footing and everything, but it's so much like grass, I don't think you're going to get some kind of blazing, you know, all of a sudden Lawrence Maroney's going to be running 4.240s.
Although you can cut pretty sharp.
Yeah, it'll help him in that aspect, cutting and keeping his footing. Obviously, we saw what he was playing on here.
Right.
So that'll be an upgrade.
Right. So that's ready to go. The Patriots are actually going to get out there and practice on it today. Check it out. And they're going to do that again on Friday, practice on it, and, see where the soft spots are. And, actually, I don't think there are any soft spots. But they're going to check it out, see what kind of cleats they want to wear. I've played on this surface before, and you can wear really any kind
anything,
of shoe.
Yeah.
Anything you want. You can wear full cleats right down to sneakers. Probably they'll wear something in between there, a short studded cleat. It's a good surface, and so we're excited about seeing that. Now, I was in a meeting this morning, Tom. I don't know if you knew, but as far as the paint goes, it takes 5 days to paint the field.
Oh, really?
And then it takes 3 days to remove paint. But the catch is when you have a new field turf field, the intensity of the color doesn't really come out until it's been painted like the third time. So this weekend's game, it'll look nice, but it'll actually look nicer, like for the Houston game,
mm-hmm.
as far as the paint goes,
right?
Because of the way it adheres to the fibers
now,
and everything.
Let me ask you something. Say it snows or rains on that. How does that affect it, like, in the next day or two? Does it really affect it? Like, say there's a big snowstorm. Does that affect the turf at all, like as far as the painting and stuff goes?
Well, I don't know. I know that it's a water-based paint, so if it does, I don't think you can paint it while it's raining. Mm-hmm. You're kind of screwed there. They do have a cover for it. So I imagine they're going to cover it up probably tonight because we are expecting rain tonight.
Oh, Thursday, Thanksgiving's supposed to be terrible.
Well, late tonight and tomorrow.
It's supposed to be 30-mile-an-hour winds and pouring.
Yep. So,
I talked to Steve Grogan today.
What did he have to say?
We left off the Grogan thing. But
what?
I had mentioned him. I had just poked around about the number.
Yeah.
He wasn't mad, but just kind of surprised, I guess, would be the word. Because he said, like, he turned the TV on, and all of a sudden they were talking about him and the number, and he said people were telling him, like, you're all over talk radio. People are calling Testaverde a bum. And he said, it's not really Testaverde just came in, and, he probably didn't even know.
Well, what's he upset about?
Well, I wouldn't use the word upset. It was more kind of surprised. He thought maybe, like maybe they would just call him and let him know, or is he kind of, like, just, it was, he kind of...
What does it have to do with us, is my question.
What do you mean?
You said you talked to him today, and he's kind of... I thought it was something you left out.
No, that wasn't on the air. That wasn't on part of the thing. This was, we were just talking on the
side. We're talking about Wednesdays with Grogan.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going to tell you a story, a funny story out of it. That's
okay.
Why I brought it up.
Oh, okay.
So we got to talking about it, and he goes, he has replica Grogan jerseys at his store, and if you want to buy one, he just slaps Grogan on the back of it and sells it to you. So one of his buddies came in, and he goes, hey, can I get one of those 14 Patriot jerseys with Testaverde on the back, please? So he wasn't mad. I don't want it to come across like that he was mad. He wasn't mad. He was just a little stunned when he turned, like obviously.
Mad about Testaverde wearing 14?
I said he wasn't mad. You're mad.
All right, stunned that Testaverde.
He was a little surprised when he turned the TV on And I mean, I can understand that. You wear a number for so long for a team and then you turn on the TV.
PK Sam was wearing it for the last 3 years.
How many times did PK Sam get on the field?
I'm
how
just
many
saying.
People talked? I understand your point, but you gotta understand something. The news media didn't have any pictures of PK Sam. They didn't talk about, he turned on the TV and there's Testaverde with 14. He plays the same position.
I know, but what did that have to do with you though? What did you not do that he thought you were gonna do?
Nothing. What are you talking
about? I thought the way you started was like,
no, I said we didn't do that on the air. We didn't talk about it on the air.
Oh, okay. I thought
this was a side.
The way it sounded like you didn't do something on the air that he wanted you to do.
No, this was just a side conversation.
Oh, so it was off the record.
Yeah.
Now it's on the air.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying I didn't really feel
right.
It was appropriate to bring
right.
it up on the thing, but I'm just saying, he wasn't mad about it.
Yeah.
He said he was just a little stunned when he turned the TV on, and I think he was more stunned that like everybody was talking about it,
right?
You know, and then like his friend said, you're all over talk radio. People are calling in, and you know, it kind of just makes it show you how useless talk radio really is. Here's the guy who had the number,
right?
And he's surprised you're talking about it.
Well, they didn't call Willie McGinnis, and you know, I don't think that, you know,
yeah, but
I
understand. It's not a big deal, but I understand kind of being a little surprised, you know, turning on a TV and then seeing someone wearing a number that you wore. It's a natural human reaction, wouldn't you say?
No.
Well, all right.
I mean, if it was retired, I'd be like, well, what are they doing? But they didn't retire the number.
Well, no, he didn't say that it shouldn't be used. He just said he was a little surprised when he saw it.
Hey, you know, I mean, Testaverde has had a long enough career. I think, you know, I guess, what did Testaverde wear when he was playing? 19? What was his
16.
Number? 16. Who has 16?
Castle.
So he couldn't wear 16.
Who wore 13? I don't know.
That's Bam Childress.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough. That's why it's tough when you start retiring these numbers. I mean, even Green Bay, we were noticing at Green Bay, their ring of fame is what, like 15 guys, but they only
have
four numbers retired.
We'll be five with Favre.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, them and the Yankees do it right.
Right.
I think, I didn't know who the one guy was. He must have been a quarterback or something early on when they won a lot of championships. But you take the people of history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you say Babe Ruth, Lou
Gehrig,
you know, now when you say, that's why I disagree with
it's
people.
It's bigger
like,
than life. They're bigger than life.
That's
guys.
Why I disagree with people like Tom Brady. I personally, if I ever see anyone wearing someone else wearing number 12 for the Patriots, I'll think it's a joke. Seriously. I mean, can you imagine someone wearing Elway, Marino, Favre, those guys' number? So I think when you're a part of history, when you're the man, like the best player the organization's ever had, I think in that, only in that instance is it okay.
That's why I love that the Celtics honor all those guys that helped them with championships, but they retire too many numbers over there.
Right. Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, Bill Russell.
Right.
Maybe Bob Cousy, but that's about
it. You take the best of the best.
Yeah. You know, so.
So if the Patriots were retiring numbers from the start to now, I would say Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, John Hanna.
And John Hanna, yeah. Tom Brady and John Hanna. Those two numbers retired, that's it.
That's it. You know, it has to be that, you know, because these guys are head and shoulders above everybody else.
Right.
So, okay, now you retire. What do you do for these guys? Build a statue?
Right. Because these two, when you talk about their position, like if you were sitting in a room with intelligent football people, you could argue that both of those guys were the best at their position of all time.
Right.
And those are the only two Patriots you can do it to. Maybe Vinatieri, but he's a kicker. Who cares about him?
So, anyway, if you want to chime in on that. Also, there's a full slate of football. There's an extra game that we've never had.
I don't like.
On Thanksgiving.
I don't like it.
Who is it?
It's Kansas City and Denver, and I don't like it.
You don't like the matchup or the fact that there's a game at night?
I know football is not like baseball, and I like that fact that they're not traditionalists, but there's one thing that the NFL does tradition-wise that I like, the Lions and Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Now, are those games always good? No. But I grew up, you get up, you turn it on, there's the Lions, followed by the Cowboys.
But some people would say that that's not good.
I know they would. And you know what? When teams didn't want to play on Thanksgiving, they were the two teams that stepped up.
That's right.
But that's the one tradition part of the NFL I like. Now, it's like we said before about the Thursday, Saturday games.
Right.
He's just diluting everything. Now I got to watch three freaking games tomorrow.
Well, you don't have to.
Well, you know I'm going to.
Right.
You know, my family's coming. They're going to want to talk to me. They're not going to get a word in edgewise. I'm going to be sitting in sweatpants watching football till midnight.
Well, I'm interested to see how the NFL Network handles this game. I want to see their production value. And I guess who is it? Brian Gumbel and who? Is Collinsworth?
No, it's the NFL Network.
Yeah.
No, it's Shannon Sharp and that.
No. Doing the game is Brian Gumbel.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they said.
Gumbel and Collinsworth.
Yeah, Gumbel and Collinsworth.
Oh, I thought they said when I was watching it this week it was that. Remember that Pee Wee crew we saw during the preseason?
Right.
Sharp
yeah.
and the other guy.
Oh,
I thought it was
awful.
Those two.
No. It's Brian Gumbel and Collinsworth. So, be interested to see how they do the camera work and the production value and the graphics. See how they compare to the other networks. What their delivery is for HD and the sound.
This is actually going to be the point-counterpoint in the upcoming issue of PFW. I'm totally against other teams playing on Thanksgiving. It should be Detroit and Dallas.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, I'm excited about it. And then, of course,
you get to see tons of other teams on Thanksgiving anyways because those teams aren't always playing the same teams on Thanksgiving.
I know, but I get tired of seeing Detroit stinks.
I know they do, but you know what? It's part of Thanksgiving. Check their record out on Thanksgiving. They don't stink on Thanksgiving, I can tell you that much.
Well, me sitting in the bathroom for 3 hours is part of Thanksgiving, too, but, you know, I'm
but
not excited about that.
But their record is, they have a great record on Thanksgiving, so it's not like they're playing all their bad games on Thanksgiving is my point.
I know. All right. Well, okay, you're a traditionalist. You don't like
just on that.
You don't like it. Now, I heard on talk radio today, I think they said something that was a little erroneous, and maybe Gary can help me out with this. Somebody was saying that any game that's on the NFL Network is only on the NFL Network. And I don't think that that's true. I think in the local market, just like on ESPN.
I've heard different accounts.
Yeah.
I've heard you say that, but you're the only one I've heard say it.
They still show the game on the local affiliate.
Yeah, but local affiliate means the Giants in New York City. It doesn't mean the Giants in Albany, New York.
Well, that's true.
That's the problem.
I don't know how they cut off that geography.
This whole thing, it really, you know, I don't want to get into it because I start swearing and stuff, but this Time Warner and those a couple other cable companies, I think, should be ashamed of themselves. I think they should be taken to court. This is they're trying to say that the NFL Network is holding them hostage. What about ESPN? Fred, what's ESPN's competition? Tell me who ESPN's competition is. Nobody.
Fox Sports?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is that the NFL Network is requiring them to carry them. So's ESPN. Try running a cable package without ESPN. See how many phone calls you get.
Right.
In 2 years, the NFL Network will be the same thing. You're going to get just as many phone calls. Eliminate it. Just put it on. Who cares?
Yep. And you know you're going to pay less now than you will
right.
5 years from now.
That's the best point because in 2 or 3 years, it's going to be even more popular. They're going to drive the price
right.
up. Get
right.
them now.
Right. So, that is a controversy going on right now. I know Portland, Maine, for example, doesn't get the NFL Network. So, you know.
Well, my hometown doesn't.
Yeah.
Upstate New York doesn't get it.
They will not be able to see Thursday night's game.
And in upstate New York, there's a Giants game on the NFL Network this year. They're not going to see it.
One of the things that NFL prides itself on, and this is why I'd like to get an answer. Maybe if Paul and Andy are listening, they can look this up before they come down. One of the things they pride themselves on is that every game is available in the market on broadcast TV. You know, that's why they do the deal for if it's on ESPN.
Not good enough.
You know, it has to be on Channel 5 in the local market.
It's not good enough.
Or ABC.
Every game should be available to everybody. If you choose to get, like, the Sunday ticket, that should be part of it somehow. Some way, somehow. You should be able, in this day and age, with all the money we put forth to watch the NFL and everything, I mean, the NFL Sunday ticket's close to $300. If you're paying that kind of money, you deserve to get every stinking game, unless it's blacked out in your area. That's the only way you don't get to see a game.
Okay. All right, let's get to the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. It's webradio@patriots.com. So just a reminder, we are going to do our picks at 1 o'clock today, since tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And, of course, we have to pick for the Thanksgiving game, so we need to do our picks now.
This isn't a very good year for my argument. Two snoozers, the right. Dolphins and the Lions and the Cowboys and the Bucks.
So we'll do that at 1. Programming note, there won't be a show tomorrow. If you're looking for it, then you're really a loser.
Yeah.
And then Friday, what are we going to do? Nothing.
No show.
Nothing on Friday. We're going to be working on the paper.
Yep.
So we lost a day here because of Thanksgiving. I am allowing the guys to go home for Thanksgiving on Thursday. I'm not requiring them to work. So I don't want to get all the hate
mail.
Well,
that's good because you know we're going to be required to work next year most likely when we're in Dallas.
You think we'll have the Dallas game?
50-50 chance. It's the AFC next year. They have to play an AFC team on Thanksgiving. They play the Jets and the Patriots at home.
Oh,
so it's 50-50.
Oh, brother.
Let me tell you, I'll tell you what. Who do you think they'd rather have on Thanksgiving?
Oh, jeez, that stinks.
It really stinks.
It really does.
So we'll be joining you from Dallas. Well, that stinks for everybody except me.
But they serve turkey on the flight, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great. My wife doesn't care about that.
Yeah, it's well, you know.
We'll get you some lobster, Fred.
Right.
It's now in the next couple of years we'll be rotating out of this Christmas, right? Like
we'll
be right on Christmas,
right.
So that'll be better.
That's going to be better. Yeah, we've been really getting hit hard on the whole Christmas thing lately.
And when you have for me, I like Christmas, but I can. It's not killing me. When you have kids like you and Paul and soon to be Andy, kind of sucks.
It does. All right. Webradio@patriots.com. And phone number is 508-543-7482. And Craig is on the phone. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas.
You too. What's up?
Well, just wanted to throw my two cents in regarding the Bears game. Defensively, you got the two best defensive teams in football squaring off against each other. Chicago has allowed the least amount of points in the NFL. Followed by the Patriots, who are number two in that area. So I think our defense doesn't get enough attention.
Craig, you know why that is? Because both teams are playing the NFC North. When you play the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings, that tends to happen.
Well, exactly, and that's what was leading me to my next point. If you look at their offensive statistics, pretty much dead nuts even across the board, with exception to points scored. They score five more a game. But if you look at the level of competition, you know, of the teams we've played against and, you know, the teams they've played against, I definitely think we have an advantage. So I can't help but feel like we're going to pound the ball. I don't feel like, you know, Brady's going to be trying to throw it all over the place because, you know, they play a great zone. Personally, I think the Patriots are going to come through on this one. I don't think they're going to have a severe case of fumbleitis. I don't see Brady throwing picks. I think these guys are probably pretty serious about stepping up and being recognized as a contender. They have to do something in this game, and I think they all know that. I see the Patriots winning this thing 23-10.
Okay, 23-10. So, you know, I would agree if the Patriots' defense can limit the Bears to 10 points,
they'll win.
They'll win. And that I predicted 19-10.
I predicted 20-10.
Yeah. So, you know, you're looking for the defense really to win this game for you. You know?
Yeah. One thing I'm sure Bill Belichick is already keenly aware of, Chicago cannot run the ball in the end zone. They've got three times as many receiving touchdowns as they do running touchdowns. So you know when it's time to get in the red zone, they're going to have their DBs and their safeties and their linebackers watching for the pass. For some reason, they just can't get it in the end zone running the ball.
Okay. All right. That's a good point, Craig. Thanks thanks for the insight.
Okay, guys. You have a great holiday. Go Pat.
You too, Craig. That's Craig from South Carolina.
You guys are a trip.
I want to make a point that Belichick said in his press conference when he tried to insult our intelligence again. There's been crap about this team being compared to the 85 Bears. All right. And then he said, well, the 85 Bears gave up 180 points, and this team's only given up 110 so far, so they're comparable. First of all, 30 of those points in 85 were given up by the second team because of beating teams so freaking bad by the fourth quarter that they had their backups in. And Mike Singletary pointed that out before. So the first team only gave up 150 points, roughly in that area.
Well, if that's the case, then the Patriots are as good as the 85 Bears, too, because they're number two in the league for points allowed.
Right.
So anyway, go ahead.
But then we're talking the playoffs, okay? They played three good teams. Nobody scored a touchdown on them until the Patriots in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of domination that is?
That is kind of crazy to even put them in the same breath.
To me, the only defense you can compare that with is the Steel Curtain back in the days where they were dominant.
Right.
To compare a defense of today to something like that is
right.
A joke.
See, this is where you just can't rely on the stats.
Right, you can't rely on stats
just,
like
this
that.
Is where I get into arguments with Paul a lot because, you know, he'll use the stats when it's in his this is where you just know that the 85 Bears were better than this
right.
team.
You know
you
why?
You just know it.
Because did you ever hear of Joe Montana? Did you ever hear of the New York Giants? Did you ever hear of the Washington Redskins? Those were all dominant teams back in those days, and
right.
they were playing them.
Right.
They weren't playing Green Bay and Minnesota and Detroit. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if the 85 Bears came back and played those three teams, they wouldn't get a first down on them. They wouldn't get a first down on them.
Right.
I mean, the Packers got 120 yards against the Patriots, for Christ's sake.
Sometimes you just know it when you see it. And this is one of those cases.
Right. You can't
this
look
is
at
not
numbers.
A team that can be compared to any of those great
right.
teams. You know, you just know it when it's like pornography. You can't really define it. You know it when you see it.
That's true, I guess. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, it was a famous, actually, ruling in court. Like, it was freedom of the press or something like that, and they were doing some type of case, and the judge said, you know it when you see it.
Yeah, speaking of court, and I don't want to get off too far.
Due to some sexual content, parental discretion is advised.
Do you believe that, like I do, that O.J. Simpson should be given the death penalty just for being alive?
Well, he should kill himself is
yeah,
what he should do.
I mean, to write a book, If I Did It, then put the word if in white so
right.
I did it stands out.
Right.
You know how I read books up on serial killers and stuff like that. That's
right.
something a killer would do. That's something he would do so he can look and laugh at you and say, you didn't get me.
Right.
That's disgusting, in my opinion.
I'm reading a book now that you'll like, Public Enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, John Dillinger and Babyface Nelson and Machine Gun Kelly and, Bonnie and Clyde. All these guys were, like, doing crimes within a three-year span, all at the same time. And it basically, because of them, the FBI got started.
Oh, really?
It became what it is today. You'd be interested.
Yeah, I like stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's shameful. And I'm glad that Fox and everybody, those bookstores are, because you know what? I could care less.
Fox pulled off the
interview.
Yeah,
right, that they pulled everything. You know what? Why would I care what O.J. Simpson says, how he would kill people?
He's despicable. He's
That's
an
terrible.
Animal.
Yeah.
He's an animal. And really, he should do everyone a favor and jump off a building.
I agree.
Actually, no, don't do that. Do some thing that we don't have to clean up.
Right.
Go somewhere so that no one has to clean up your mess.
Go drown yourself somewhere.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want anyone else to go kill him because then they would go to jail
right.
even though it was a justified killing. He should just do what the right
just,
thing and end it.
I just think it's so sad. I remember back on the day when they gave the verdict and so many people were cheering, and I thought to myself, you know what got lost in all this? Two people were murdered.
Yeah.
It's not white. It's
no.
not black.
No.
I know. I understand African Americans might have had a tough time in the judicial system. I understand that. But you know what? Right is right, no matter what color you are. And the guy killed two people. He should be in prison or in an electric chair.
You know, how about those Buffalo Bills fans, too? I mean, this
Spickable.
Is a guy whose name is in the
Spickable.
Ring of Honor. And he's one of the, you know, before this, he was probably the greatest Bill ever
all
to play.
Time, by far.
He was their John Hanna.
Right.
He was their Tom Brady. And now, basically, they have to wipe that all out.
And if this was Brady and we had all that evidence that you had against O.J. and Patriot fans were defending him, I would ban them from this show, from SPFW,
yeah,
from
absolutely.
Anything that we do.
Absolutely. The guy is a murderer.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. He's either a murderer or he's got a whole hell of a lot of coincidences that went one after another where he just, you know.
If he didn't do it and I was him, I would be on TV radio every day claiming my innocence. I'd be doing everything
well,
I can.
He can't do that, Fred. Remember he started that 1-800 number
oh,
to
yeah.
find the real killer and he said he wasn't going to sleep until he did?
Right.
Well, I've seen him sleeping, so.
No, he's looking for the killer on every golf course in America.
Yeah.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Just reminding everyone, we're going to do our picks in the second half so that we get them in before the three Thanksgiving games tomorrow. NFL Network. It's big. Paul, Tom doesn't like it. Hey, I saw an email about you today. About
yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, they didn't like me.
No.
Why was it good? You don't like
me? I thought it was funny.
No, it was funny.
I think we should print it.
Well, listen, the guy I took a shot at was saying that Troy Brown was...
Could you be more specific?
the guy I took a shot at was... he was calling us idiots... because he was saying Troy Brown was getting reps at quarterback And that was the reason why Testaverde was brought in, because Troy Brown can't do everything. And he said, why can't you geniuses see this? So I explained to him that Troy Brown does not take reps at quarterback throughout the week unless there's a play specifically put in for him at quarterback. And so I took a little shot at him. It's just, I mean, all fun.
I think it was great. But then the last thing, though, is that Andy Hart is...
He said Andy Hart's the man.
Yeah.
So I said to Andy, I'm going to trace that email. And if I see Dartmouth, Massachusetts,
right,
I'll know what's
up. And that killed all his credibility, right?
Yeah,
there,
right. Exactly. Because Andy's getting mad because you, Paul, and I are more people like us more.
Well, can you blame them?
That he's such a miserable little man, with the emphasis on little, since he's lost that 20 pounds.
He really is getting small.
Yeah, can you?
I mean, you know, it's like a lot of those offensive linemen after they retire, they get off the juice and everything, and they start eating normal, and they're just little pencil guys.
He looks like Moose Johnson.
Yeah, he's like a little pencil guy now.
I'm afraid Bilo's going to walk up behind him and give him a wedgie.
Yeah. We should do that. We should start bullying him. Anyway, Mike in Nashville, Tennessee writes in. He says, I don't watch many Dallas games, so I haven't seen much of him. But if Dallas's Roy Williams plays every game the way he did Sunday against the Colts,
thank you,
then Tom's low opinion of him is deadly accurate. The three notable plays he made included one, pitiful man-to-man coverage at the goal line, which left Dallas Clark wide open in the corner of the end zone for a touchdown. Two, coming in late on a play to make a big hit on a Colt player whose progress had been stopped, missing the Colt and hitting his own player,
right,
snapping his head back and injuring
him. And that happens at least twice a game.
Three, coming in late again to make a play on a ball which Terrence Newman had secured, breaking up the play and preventing the interception. Honestly, if Dallas had played with 10 men on defense and left Williams on the sideline, you could make the case that they would have been a more effective unit.
And I'll add four. He left out the most important one, the deep pass to Marvin Harrison with 4 minutes to go, where Newman had pretty good coverage. Phil Sims called Roy Williams out on that. He was supposed to be over top on that, and he got over late. And he said, you know, at this point in the game, there's no way a safety can allow that to happen. And he's talked about Williams having trouble in coverage, and he said, you know, if you can't do everything you're supposed to do in a position, then that's hurting your team. And he was right. He gave up that huge play, and the Colts got down, had a chance to tie the game. And luckily,
I don't like Roy Williams because he just reminds me of that, like, one kid who has this one thing in his repertoire, and it's that tackling from behind thing that he always does.
Well, you know what the problem is that he's a hard hitter. You can't deny that. I mean, he's a hard hitter, and
he's out of control.
But the media and fans, they love that. You know what I mean? Like, they love the hard hitters. But the difference was, a guy like Ronnie Lott, he not only hit you hard, he tackled well. He could cover. He played corner, for Christ's sakes, in his first 5 or 6 years in the league. So that he was a complete player. All Roy does is he'll knock you out every now and again, and then SportsCenter puts it on their top. You know, oh, so-and-so got jacked up. You know what I mean? And,
right.
So there you go.
Jeff in Vegas says,
Ricky Williams got jacked up.
It was great to see the Pats rebound for a big win. Tom looked like he was really snapping the ball around on Sunday. I was glad to see that after all those hits that he has been taking of late, that he really seemed to be getting a lot of zip on the ball. Please tell the dart guy from last week, I don't think he has to worry about the Packers fans, Jets fans, or Colts fans laughing at him for a while. Maybe Belichick isn't such a fool after all, since the Packers and Eagles are now scrambling for help at the quarterback position. Seems like the Pats might have scooped up Vinny just in time, right before the other teams that now need quarterback depth.
So what does
Let's
that
trade him for some draft picks.
Listen, first of all, what the hell does that mean? The Packers aren't going to the playoffs, the Eagles aren't going to the playoffs, and they're not in the Patriots Conference. Second of all, if they want Vinny Testaverde to lead their team, God bless him, because he couldn't do it 2 years ago in Dallas. I don't know what that means. Listen, Bill Belichick is a great coach. He does a lot of great things, but I'm not giving him credit for that. That's stupid.
Last, I'm telling you, it was more than on-the-field stuff that they got him for. Lastly, I was wondering
before you get into that, let me ask you.
Yes.
Do you think part of it, because I know you like these conspiracy things.
It's not a conspiracy.
No, I'm not conspiracy, but you know where I'm going. Do you think part of it was kind of take the pressure off the team a little bit too. Like, they were going to sign him pretty much anyway, but they had two losses, and all of a sudden Belichick had the media all waiting at Testaverde's locker on a meaningless story, and really you didn't hear anything about the two losses for the first couple of days because everybody was going with the Testaverde story.
Now, that would be a conspiracy theory.
No, but I'm saying they were thinking about signing him anyway, and they said, let's make it this week because we've lost two. You know, we'll throw the media something out there instead of waiting another week or two.
No, I'm not buying that. Lastly,
so you think he came in to be Bill Belichick's friend? That's a much better theory. Go with that.
I think a sounding board. Yeah, someone he trusts.
That's stupid.
I think a lot of these coaches like having guys that they can talk to.
Yeah,
Parcells is that way. I'm sure Belichick is that way. A lot of them, they like to have their guys. Circle the wagon, guys.
Yeah, we'll see. Go read on.
Lastly, I was wondering if all of you read Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback every week. I'm getting to the point where I am unable to read it.
How dumb is Peter King?
All the gushing over Tony Romo, Philip Rivers, and Drew Brees is really sickening. For someone that has been around a while and knows the game, isn't this a bit much adulation for these guys? Earlier in the year, and last year it was Eli Manning. How is he doing these days? And Mike Nolan. Every time the 49ers win, we're told how great a coach he is. When they get waxed, no mention of him. I was just wondering if you guys noticed this. It seems like the column is getting really goofy of late.
And well, I know ifs and buts are candy and nuts.
I don't read Peter King because I don't like him. And one of the reasons I don't
like him.
Huh?
You don't like him?
No.
Oh.
Why do I have to?
Have you met him?
I've met him, and I don't like him in person either.
Oh, okay.
So how do you like that? One of the things I don't like about him is he's an ESPN guy where he's so reactionary. Like, whenever something happens, he like they said, like the Tony Romo thing.
You, right.
You know I followed the Cowboys for years, right?
Right.
Do you see me doing hula hoops or jumping through hula hoops for Tony Romo?
I absolutely don't.
You know why? Because he's played, what, 5 games? I think we need a little bit more time to watch him play. I mean, now, he's played very well, don't get me wrong, you know, and I think it's exciting for Cowboy fans that they finally have a young guy in there playing well, but like this emailer said, ESPN and Peter King got the guy in the Pro Bowl, the Hall of Fame. They react to everything, and like they said, Eli Manning, where's all the anti-Eli Manning stuff? You know, I thought he was going to be the next superstar in the NFL. So when things go good one way, they jump on board. But then when they go bad, just kind of brush it off. You know, we'll forget about that.
Right. What did you think of Mike Nolan and Jack Del Rio wearing their suits?
I liked it.
I like Del Rio's suit.
Sharp.
But I think it kind of looks a little goofy when you have the headset on and the suit. You know, it looks a little out of place.
I like the fact, and this goes back to the tradition, the NFL doesn't do it like baseball, but I like the fact that they honor a little bit some of the old-time coaches that helped build the league and, you know, got it to where it was today.
On the other hand, I think it's silly seeing these 60-year-old pot-bellied guys in baseball wearing full uniforms. I think that's, you know, put them in a sweatsuit or something, but they're out there with the
dumbest
socks.
That's the dumbest thing. I don't know who thought of that.
Right. How did that? I mean, I guess at one point maybe they were player managers,
right.
You know, but to keep them in those uniforms, you know, Don Zimmer in those, it's ridiculous.
It's stupid.
You know, so that's the other side of it.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, you should be.
So I have to say, I'm sorry.
That was one of the funniest moments ever when Pedro threw him down.
Oh, God, that was great.
He just pushed him aside. The guy started rolling.
I was
rolling.
Mad he didn't kick him.
You would have bit him in the face.
If he was a Yankee, of course I would.
Artie Knowles from New Hampshire says, how can I catch the third game Thanksgiving night when I don't have NFL Network? Am I SOL?
Yes.
Yes, you are. You know, and what
you should be calling your cable provider. You should be doing everything you can, put pressure on them to get the NFL Network.
Yeah, up in New Hampshire, I know my in-laws have Comcast where they are. That's southern New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But it's all, they're all over the map there as far as carriers. I think some people have, I forget the name, it began with an A. And then
Adelphia?
Adelphia, and then there's Time Warner, and, you know. So, yeah.
Adelphia has it, though.
Oh, they have it now?
I thought they had it when I was in Vermont.
Oh, they might have, because I think actually Comcast bought them.
I'll guarantee Adelphia has it, because I watched it. That's when I first started watching the NFL Network when I was in college in Vermont, so they have it.
What the NFL wants you to do is to start calling your carrier.
Everybody out there, call. because, and Time Warner's the big one. And I told you, I've dealt with these guys for 25 years. I know Time Warner. In 2 years, they're gonna put their tail between their legs, and just like they did with ESPN Classic, ESPN News, which took them 2 years to get, they gotta fight everybody, then they lose and end up paying more for it. So why don't you call them up and tell them that? Say, listen, you losers, I've had Time Warner forever. You're gonna get the freaking channel anyway. Just get it now and shut up.
John Gorotowski from Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Fred, Paul, Andy. I'll include Tom there. He left you out, but I'll put you in there.
Maybe he doesn't like me.
Listen to your show as much as possible and do very much enjoy the broadcast. I enjoy the objectivity. On to the Pats. I also feel that the Bears are overrated. I don't know much, but I believe that the Pats will also win by double numbers. Bill Belichick may be using some reverse psychology with this morning's briefing. Of course, the Pats will have the acid test this Sunday, and that's a good thing for the Pats and for all of us fans, as we all need to find out at this point of the season, is there a real potential for the Pats to move on in the playoffs?
Well, I think Bill Belichick does that every week. I mean, the master of it was Lou Holtz. Remember when they were playing 0-8 Navy?
Oh, my God.
And he sat there, I believe it was for 14 minutes, telling you how great 0-8 Navy was and what a test they were going to be before they finally put a stop to it. So he's obviously in that
school. At what point does that kind of behavior actually insult the other team? Because
yeah,
they know,
I know,
we're not that good.
Right.
What's he, you know... When does it start insulting them?
That's true. But like last year, like I said with the Saints came in here with, I think, one or two wins, and Bill made them sound like they were the greatest. I mean, he's like a politician. He had me believe in the Saints were going to win.
So ridiculous.
Well, there was no doubt from what Belichick said today that clearly the emphasis on what he's been looking at is their defense.
Yeah.
You know, he did touch on the offense
big
a
plays.
Little bit, but it's really the defense that and it should. That's really...
Well, you know what's funny? This kind of reminds me a little bit of the Michigan-Ohio State game where we all settled in for a defensive battle and it was 42-39.
That's true.
Sometimes these defensive games get that way because both teams say, well, we can't run on the other team. We're going to have to throw it.
Well, now, speaking of that, okay, so you've got the Bears. You know that the Patriots, so far this season, have had trouble with fast, tough defenses. How do you attack that if you're the Patriots?
Well,
what do you do?
I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I'll tell you what you do. You know what you do? You throw it. You know why? Because I know one thing I'm sure of is overrated on the Bears. It's the number one ranked pass defense. That is definitely a result of playing the teams we mentioned. Because we saw those teams play, and they can't throw. Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit. Their defense slaughters those teams through the air. So I think while they're ranked number one defensively against the pass, I think it's better to go out and throw a little bit on them than just, you know, have everyone bunched up and try to run up the middle on them even though they're ranked
lower. Well, what kind of passes? I mean, there's different ways to throw.
You got to hit them down. You remember?
It's low percentage, though,
no,
Tom.
No, I'm not talking all bombs. I mean 15, 20 yards, like in the middle of the field, Ben Watson, that area. If you throw short against them, forget it because they're too fast. They'll run to the ball. You got to try to get him 10 yards in that area.
Okay, now, does Brady have enough time to do that? Will he have enough time?
Well, he's going to have to because that's how you attack him. You can't throw, like, little tiny little passes against the Bears because they're too fast. You know the little pass that Green Bay tried where they threw to Amon Green to the flats?
Right.
And every time someone throws that against the Patriots, I'm up in the press box saying that won't work.
It's a 1 to 2 yard gain at
because
best.
The Patriots will not allow that to ever work.
Right.
The Bears are the same way. You're not going to get much to them. So I think you can run the ball on them. I think you got to throw the ball vertically. Not vertically 80 yards, vertically like down the field 10, 15 yards in that area. Don't throw it 4 or 5 yards because you know what? You're going to get 4 or 5 yards. They're going to tackle you and they're going to make you pay.
So does Tom Brady have to have, in order for the Patriots to win this game, does he have to have his best game of the season?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
But one thing the Bears don't do, and they don't need to do it often because their front four is so good, they don't blitz. They do not blitz. Now, that's given the Patriots a lot of trouble this year is the blitz. So if they can hold the front four for a few seconds and give Brady the time, I think he can pick them apart. And the fact that they don't blitz, I think gives them – now, the Denver game was – I think it's going to be similar to the Denver game. He had plenty of time in the Denver game. They didn't blitz him. He had time.
That's right. They did not
do
that.
He just
we expected to see what we saw in the playoffs last year. We didn't see that.
But he just couldn't find anybody open. Yeah.
And when they were, I mean, their defense was just all over them.
That leads us to the other argument. Can they get open against the Bears? We're talking about throwing it 10, 15 yards down the field. Are those guys going to be open?
Is this the game that Chad Jackson breaks out?
This is the game, Fred, that we find out about everything. Remember last year, remember after Kansas City, I told you I've given up.
Right.
Remember I was so deflated after they went to Kansas, because it was the same weekend. It was Thanksgiving Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And they had lost to good teams, and I thought they had turned it around. They went to Kansas City, and I got off them. I said, I'm done with them. They stink. I'm in the same boat. If they lose at home to the Bears, I'm not interested in what they do for the rest of the year, because I just think they'll go to the playoffs. They may win a home game and then lose. At some point, you got to say, we're getting on a roll. Kind of like Dallas. Remember last week that
right.
that might be a turning point for them. You know, that turning point. This could be a turning point for the Patriots. They got a great team coming in here. They've had trouble at home. You win this game kind of easily, and then that starts building momentum. Because I heard Richard Seymour say we actually started seeing teeth last week, meaning smiles.
Right.
Like they weren't having fun playing the game anymore. And if they can get back to that, beat the Bears, I think they could be dangerous in the playoffs.
All right. Let's see. Eric from Deerfield Beach writes in, excellent, it's about Roy Williams, excellent at Ohio, OU, is that?
Oh, yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah. Playing what is now known as the Roy back position. It's not a safety and it's not a linebacker. At OU, it's now known as the Roy back.
So it's like a hybrid.
Right.
Which he is. See, I think he should gain 10 pounds and play linebacker. Because in the NFL, I just think he can't cover at all and he's a liability.
But he's not that big. I mean,
he's pretty big. He's a pretty big guy.
Big enough to play linebacker?
He's 238.
Is he?
240.
Is he that big?
He's big.
Okay.
Remember when Parcells got there, he told him, you're a biscuit away from being our starting linebacker. You need to lose 10 pounds. Didn't work.
All right. Let's see. Let's see. Russell. This is Josh from Burlington, Vermont. Says not that it's a big deal, but on Patriots Today, Laurie says something like, not only did we stop Brett Favre's passing attack, but we took him out of the game in the second quarter. So as you guys well know, Brett Favre stopped his own passing attack, and more importantly, you might want to point to Laurie that smirking with pride about an injury to an NFL legend might not play that well. I know it's no big deal, but it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I figured emails are slow. Well, I'm not surprised that Lori said that. She's vicious. I saw her pound Andy to a pulp one day. She's very physical.
Well, that was just kind of a love fight, though.
No, she's vicious.
Because those two are having an affair. How many times do I have to tell you?
She'd just as soon punch you than say hello.
Yeah, punch Andy because she loves him.
She's what? What's the matter, Gary?
I have the audio of it, and you're talking over it.
Oh, then play it.
Because we don't listen to your crap.
He just turned off Tom's microphone. Well, I have no problem with that, you know.
I don't listen to your crap.
Well, I mean, Favre absolutely had a bad game, but you got to give the Patriots some credit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's Patriots today. I mean, you know. So, I guess it's just an insult to say that Favre had a bad game. Then, you know, that's making fun of a living legend as well.
Well, you know, and not everyone's going to like Laurie like Andy does.
And the Patriots did knock him out of the game. You know? I guess you shouldn't smirk when you say it, maybe, but I'm telling you, Laurie Baranski is as tough as they come.
Let's turn it over.
I've never seen anything like that.
Andy
Hart. Oh, she's as tough as they come. I've heard her say during games, snap his neck in half. She's vicious.
So she's a sick freak?
No, thanks, Laurie.
She's a real toughie.
And she's on the field yelling, snap his neck.
That's
trying
right.
To get the crowd yelling it.
Right.
Well, I think everyone here who has worked with me will admit that I am a despicable human being. And I don't even root for injuries during games, so that's pretty bad.
And despite what Paul says, I don't either.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You get a little smirk on your face.
I don't root for injuries.
I looked over at you when Favre was hurt. You weren't crying.
Oh, you liar. You liar. Russell from the sun-drenched
early Doucette.
Yes. While I understand there's concern.
He has no idea what that means.
Early Doucette.
He's a receiver for LSU.
While I understand there's concern when you don't beat winning teams, isn't the whole beat teams with winning records a very skewed stat? On opening day, everyone is 0-0, so winning that game would fall into a beat a team with a losing record. The Bengals were 3-0, yet now it's viewed like a cupcake game. Same with the Viking game. The Denver game was a bad game all around. The Colts game, I feel, was another matter. Brady's INTs were all horrendously bad throws.
Now, this sounds like the cry of the truly desperate.
As discussed yesterday, the Patriots linebackers just seem to be a step too slow in coverage, but Manning and his receivers burn most secondaries anyway. Last year against Denver and Indy in the regular season, they weren't even in the game. With the Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour holding the line against the run and the overall experience of the team, if the health issues improve, they should be able to make a run at the trophy. Tom, you're the man. I just love when you go off on rants. Have a great holiday. Love the show.
Well, the only thing I'll say is that you try to, when the playoffs start, you try to look at, you know, the body of work and to, when you try to predict who's going to do well in the playoffs. Now, from my experience, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, Fred, teams that stop the run and have done well against strong teams, like say, I think like the Chargers, if they win the West, will be tough because it's a very strong division. That's why
they got Marty Schottenheimer.
Right, no, that's true. But the NFC East, back when it was tough, when those teams got in the playoffs, it was like a cakewalk because the guys they beat were better than the teams that they played.
They were battle hardened.
Yeah, and I just think teams that stop the run, which the Patriots do well, and teams that can show that they can beat the better teams are the ones that are going to have success. Now, the Patriots have one out of the two of my formula.
Right.
If they can beat the Bears and beat Jacksonville, I'm going to be less worried because I think they had a lot of new pieces to the puzzle.
Do you think one of the keys to the Patriots' success going forward, this is what I think, and I'm asking you if you agree, is really establishing Lawrence Maroney as the number one
guy? Oh, yeah. You know, well, according to Paul Perillo, he's been saying that for the past month, as he said on the TV show. Listen,
I want it. By the time the playoffs come, I want Maroney to be the guy that teams fear.
And I don't want to hear any more of this crap because it was proven on Sunday. The more touches he gets, Nick Barnett is a Pro Bowl linebacker. He made him look like a high school player trying to tackle him in space. Madu Williams is an upcoming safety for the Bengals. He stiff-armed him into the ground in Cincinnati. What we're trying to say is if you give him 25 touches, you have a good chance of something like that happening during the game.
Right.
If you give him 12, he might not do anything with 12.
Right, right. I love Corey Dillon. He's my man, but
he can still be the short yardage back.
You know, so it's no disrespect to Corey Dillon. It's just that you got something here with Maroney.
Right.
You got to use it.
Let me tell you something. He's a mean man. There's a misconception around here that because he smiles a lot, that this is a nice guy. Let me tell you something. Yesterday in the locker room, they asked him if he follows Reggie Bush, and he said, "Who?" And he didn't say it with a smile on his face.
Right.
He wasn't joking.
Right.
I got news for you. And he was talking about, I asked him about his running style, like the Walter Payton, and he was talking about how he thinks if a running back goes out of bounds, he's weak. He said he's got no use for running backs to go out of bounds. This guy runs with an attitude. And he might be a nice guy off the field, like Rodney Harrison is, but
yeah,
you don't want to try to tackle him on the field.
I love it. Arthur from New Hampshire says, "I'm screwed. I've got Time Warner, and as Tout Casale knows, I won't be getting the NFL Network, damn it."
Call up. Keep calling.
Keep calling. Shane from Miami writes, "And Tom, I hear you when you say that for the Sunday ticket price we have to pay that we should get all the games. I agree 100%, but it makes me remember the old days when I didn't even have cable. I got one game on at 1, and with luck, another at 4. There was no ESPN night game because there was no ESPN. Heck, I only had 5 channels on the whole TV. I feel like a kid in the candy shop having all these games to pick from in the first place. It's amazing how far things have changed in the digital age. We have become spoiled from internet access and DirecTV, iPods, 24-hour news, sports news, and virtually any sporting match available to watch if you're willing to pay for it. Are times really better now, or were they better back when fewer options made a less complicated life?"
Who's this email?
Shane from Miami, Florida.
Shane, I hate to tell you this, but back in the day, black people couldn't vote.
Yeah.
You know, the changes occur throughout life.
What's he saying? He's saying it's good.
Right, but my point is that in today's in today's world, there's no reason why, if you're willing to pay, you shouldn't be able to see
right,
the NFL.
Right. But he's saying that you don't like, you like the, I think he's saying that you're saying that you like the tradition back in the day when you didn't have all this stuff.
Well, I, me?
Yeah.
No, why would I, why, I like what?
I guess with the whole Dallas, Detroit.
I said
thing.
That's the only thing I like.
Okay.
That the NFL, no, in today's day and age, with everything we got, with all the money floating around, and let's not kid ourselves. It's billions we're
oh,
talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
That if you're willing to fork over $300, somehow, some way, you should be watching every game. And this, all this has to do with is a couple of cable companies. This isn't a complicated thing. It's a couple of cable companies being stubborn. They're trying to take on the system. And like I said, in 2 years, everyone who has Time Warner will have the NFL Network. You'll just go 2 years without it because they have to be a bunch of idiots.
Let's see. Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire, when he's not in Deerfield Beach, Florida, says the Bears D-line versus the Pats D-line. Who has the better line? Both feature two of the top young defensive tackles in the NFL, Tommy Harris and Will Fork.
I like Will Fork. You know that. I think he's having a Pro Bowl caliber season, but Tommy Harris might be the best player at his position in the NFL right now. He's that good. He's got 5.5 sacks from his tackle position. He shuts down the run. I mean, he can really do it all. So I would give the edge there to the Bears. That's tough. I mean, they run different systems. The way I can answer that is the Patriots have the perfect players for their defensive line, and the Bears have the perfect players for their defensive line. Because we were talking about Mark Anderson, the rookie out of Alabama. Some people thought he could come here and play in the 3-4. Well, maybe he couldn't. But you know what? With the Bears, he's got 8.5 sacks, so it's working out for him.
All right. That's going to do it for this segment.
Hey, wait. There's Paul and his little friend.
Oh, okay. That's going to do it for this segment. Paul and Andy are here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time to go around the NFL.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson. First round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the New York Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, with senior face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my
or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi.
This is PFW in Progress.
They tell you all the time what to do, what to think, what to feel. Do you want to be like a chief, like all those other people, man?
Bah, bah. Do you want to work 8 to 10 hours? You own nothing? You got nothing? Do you know I eat octopus 3 times a day? How do you like that? I'm a political prisoner, and I want my human right. Now, just like the president, give me Carter's sense.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if it fits.
Paul Perillo.
You're 50, you got a bag for a belly. They got hair on them. You got a liver, they got spots on it, and you're a junkie. Sleeps all day with them black chains on. Wakes up with a quaalude.
And Andy.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Andy Hart.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
Some guy named Tom.
Let's get this straight. All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one. You understand?
PFW in Progress.
You want to play rough? Okay.
Uno.
Say hello to my little friend.
Say hello to our little friend, Andy Hart. Tom Casale, Paul Perillo with me, Fred, Gary in the booth. Going around the NFL, it's 1 o'clock on Wednesday, and of course we need to do it on Wednesday this week because we got 3 big games tomorrow. 3 big games, not 2, 3.
Plus we won't be here tomorrow.
Yeah. Unless you're in Time Warner country, and then you only have 2.
Or me complaining about it.
So, and today...
I don't like the 3 games. Does anyone else not like the 3 games? I mean, I think 2 is enough on Thanksgiving. Now I've got to be up till, you know, midnight watching
football.
No, I think
it's good because everyone eats their Thanksgiving dinner at a different time.
Tired and falls asleep.
So if you have an early dinner, you got an option now that you still have a game at night. You don't have to.
You think it's good because the NFL did it.
Good point.
Well, hey, look, if it was up to me, I wouldn't have any games on Thanksgiving. I'd have college games or high school games.
Why?
And football would just be on Sunday.
There is a college game, right, at night?
Yeah, Miami and Boston College.
Holy.
Wow.
So basically my family's coming here to watch me watch football.
All right. Well, this week... And
it's better than the alternative, coming here to try to converse with you.
That's true.
Going forward, I guess.
I can't wait to see them so badly that after work, while they're here, I'm going to the gym.
Sure.
For today's NFL, go around the NFL, and going forward, it's the return of Andy Hart's NFL Fun
Facts.
Whoa, I
don't know about going forward. I thought this might be a holiday week special.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'll, going forward, from now on, you got it.
You'll do the NFL Fun Facts.
And you have to come up with a quirky name every time you announce it.
I don't have to do anything.
You know, like the covers.
All right. And so you can look forward to that as we do each game. And as we always do, Paul will fill us in with what happened last week and what the season standings are.
Okay. We're ready. Ooh, that's awful. That's a hot mic.
Hot mic.
It's awfully loud. All right. Here we go. Tom and Fred, you guys tied for the lead at 11 and 5.
How could that be possible? I didn't win a game.
You won 11,
you
apparently.
You won 11 of them. It's kind of like one of those good outside shooters in basketball when as soon as he releases it, off, swish.
I didn't know I won a game.
Andy, you went 10-6. I went 9-7. And remarkably, everybody was exactly the same against the spread. Tom and Fred, 11-5. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm wrong about that. I was 9-7. Andy, you were only 8-8 against the spread.
So, wow, 11-5 against the spread.
You were 11-5 against the spread?
You were, too.
That's unbelievable.
Well, James, you know, James doesn't talk to me anymore. After that Bengals game, I haven't heard from him. I guess there goes my iPod. Jeez, James, I give you one loser. It was 28-7 at the half. What do you want from me?
Hey, Andy is, I think this is right. Andy's in the lead, 99-61.
Right. Well, maybe somebody got to him.
I have scratches all over the place here now. Tom, 98-62. Fred, 96-64. Paul, 95-65. By the spread, Tom has the lead at 51-47-2. The rest of us are below 500.
I can't be that below.
You're well below.
What is it?
47-51. 4 games below.
4 below. Well below. It's like, you know, you would think that I didn't win a game all year. You're unbelievable. Gary, I ordered a
Tom,
new Sirius device yesterday.
Below 500.
I didn't get the Stiletto.
Well below.
You're not pulling in much money.
No. Well below 500.
And I just want to remind everyone, a new partner to the NFL is Sirius.
What did you say? You got it?
I got a new Sirius, not the Stiletto. I got a new one for the car.
Oh.
It's the Sportster 4. It's the thin new Sportster. You got that one? You like it?
So this won't actually allow you to listen nonstop?
So you'll hear 75% of the programming?
Well, it actually records up to like 55 minutes of programming so you can rewind it or like pause it.
Why would I want to?
So you can hear the skips multiple times if you'd like.
I'll tell you though, Tom, I guarantee you this right now as I sit here, by next season, next football season, I will have the Stiletto or whatever the latest model is so I can listen to Sirius on the plane.
Yeah, but is it going to work?
It will work.
I'll tell you what. You buy it. Let me know after week one. If it works, I'll pay any amount of money for it.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the picks. This is week 12, and the Thursday games, of course, the first one is a 12:30 start. Miami Dolphins at the Detroit Lions. The spread for this game, Miami, favored by 3 points. And here is Andy Hart's colon fun fact.
I don't even get it. What does that mean?
Because you have a bad colon.
Okay.
That is true.
Dolphins are 4-1 on Thanksgiving and have won 8 games in a row after November 1st under Nick Saban because they have no stones.
They're chokers.
4-1, though. That's impressive.
That's pretty good.
On Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Last time they were on Thanksgiving, they put the whooping of the Cowboys. Something fierce, man.
So, there's a good chance they could revisit that same sort of a game this week against the Detroit Lions. What was the spread?
Three.
Dolphins by 3?
Dolphins favored by 3.
I'll take the Dolphins to win outright, cover everything. Okay. I think they're the better football team. They just didn't play like it early in the year. I'm really buying into, as this number says, 8-0 after November 1st when they're already pretty much out of things. They got no stones, and everybody is on the Nick Saban bandwagon, but maybe they should win some games early in the year so that he can play in January and show how good a coach he is. But they'll get it done this week and improve their fraudulent record.
Okay, Tom.
Here's the Tom Casale fun fact. Brett Favre and Brad Johnson threw for a lot of yards against Detroit. Now, we've seen those two quarterbacks live. I'll take the Dolphins.
Right. And no matter what I take, you know I'm going to be wrong. But go ahead, Paul.
Any concern here? Joey Harrington playing against Detroit, maybe trying to do too much?
Dre Bly.
Anybody?
There's a concern because I don't think Miami's very good, but I'm actually going to be happy to watch this Detroit game because I got to do the preview and I don't know a damn thing about them. So I'm just going with the AFC team.
Yeah, okay. I'll take Miami. I'm a little worried about Harrington, though.
What about, how do you look at the spread, both of you?
I'm taking them both ways.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take Detroit outright in this game.
Is that because I told you they have a good record on Thanksgiving when you were saying they shouldn't be on Thanksgiving?
Well, I remember some games that Detroit have played on Thanksgiving where they pulled upsets. And, you know, just I'm always wrong, so you know now that Miami's going to win this game.
Right. Simeon Rice out for the year, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Thursday 4:15 game. Now, is this the game? Will you guys be eating during this game, or will you have already eaten?
I'll be done.
Are you asking me if I'll be eating?
I'll be eating during this game.
You'll be eating during this
game. Hi, I'm Tom Casale. Have we met?
You'll be eating all day.
No.
No, the Cowboys.
We'll be eating his words when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are putting
up. You have control of when the dinner is being served.
At his house.
Total control. No, I had it at my parents' house.
Right.
We don't eat a minute past 2 o'clock.
Okay. And that will be the case tomorrow?
It better be.
Okay.
I don't know.
What if it isn't?
Well, and Allison and my mother are in for a tough, tough day. You don't want to be around me when I'm not happy, Fred.
All right.
When are you happy?
All right. Tampa Bay at Dallas. Dallas is favored by 11 points in this game.
Wow.
And Andy has a little Cowboy stat for us.
Actually, it's from the Bucs side.
Oh.
It's from the Andy Hart and Tom Casale draft preview. Quarterback Bruce Gradkowski leads all rookie QBs with 9 touchdowns.
What's going on here?
You know, all these big names, Vince Young, Matt Leinart, all these other guys.
Can I interrupt you for a second because it's something pertaining to the Patriots? Ricky Manning Jr. Suspended 1 game by the NFL, will not play against the Patriots.
Really?
For his part in the altercation that happened last summer. Yet another example of
the NFL hating the Patriots.
Another example of the NFL, yes, hating the Patriots.
Right. No, they played a team coming off a bye.
Right. Right.
So that just came out? When did you hear this?
I just saw it on the ESPN scroll.
Wow.
And actually, Brian Morey.
Now, is that the one where he beat up the guy in the Denny's?
Yes.
Okay. Then why are you shouting?
Because Fred actually knew something.
But I just thought it was funny that it happened around the time of the draft, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't it before? Wasn't that the one that Maurice Drew was involved in?
Yeah.
So it happened last April, and the NFL suspends him before the Patriots game. Yeah, they clearly have something. They clearly have something in for the Patriots.
Listen, the next time somebody writes in about all this crap about how the NFL hates the Patriots, just know one thing: it was a fumble. We all know it was a fumble. So shut up and move on.
When I get multiple beers in Fred, even he says fumble.
All right. So 11-point favorites are the Cowboys at home.
I'll take the Cowboys to win, but I'll take the Bucks with the points. I'd like to pick the Bucks for the upset here, but I just can't do it. I think the Cowboys are the better team. I think Romo is probably due for a little bit of a drop-off game. Not sure if it comes this week or not, but I think that number is too big. I don't think the Cowboys are as good as people are trying to make them out to be, assuming the person who speaks after me is going to tell you how great they are. Go, Tom.
Well, you're a joke. They beat the Colts.
So?
They're great. Now
that's your argument. I thought you'd have more than that.
Now, this line is very inflated because of what happened last week, and that concerns me a little bit because the people who do this for a living look for those type of things. I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win. I'm a little concerned coming on the short week off the emotional victory. I think they'll have enough to win. This is a tough one. I'm going to take them to cover, even though I hate it. I just hate it. But I've been taking the Bucks too often this year and getting burned by them. So hopefully the Cowboys have turned the corner and are heading in the right direction. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Paul.
All right, I like Dallas big God in this
bless
one,
you.
Freddie.
Really?
Really big. I think that turn Cadillac Williams has had a tough time most of the year. Did have a good game last week. But I don't see him running very often, very much against Dallas's defense. And the rookie, Gradkowski, there, I don't see him doing a whole lot of damage. I think Dallas has got it going right now. The defense is finally playing to the level where a lot of people had thought it might, and Romo has obviously given him a huge lift. He's the second-ranked passer in the NFC, and I think Dallas rolls tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to go boys both ways.
I will just say one thing. They will score one touchdown because other than Randy Moss, Galway is probably the biggest
deep
threat
in
the NFL over the past decade, and I'm sure sooner or later Roy Williams will be late getting over somewhere, so it'll be at least 31-7.
All right, the new game on Thanksgiving, boys both ways. The new game on Thanksgiving is an 8 o'clock game on the NFL Network.
It is
Denver at Kansas City. Denver is a 1-point favorite. Hype at heart.
The Chiefs have 51 wins versus Denver, the most versus any one foe, and have won 9 of the past 11 versus Denver at home. Close spread?
One. Single digit.
Broncos are favored by one?
Broncos are favored by one.
Ooh. I'm going to take the Broncos to bounce back. Obviously, the note I just read you says that the trend doesn't necessarily agree with that. I think they're the better team. Interesting week here for the quarterback. I think that conversation continues with Jake Plummer and what's going on there. And Trent Green should only be better with a week under his belt coming back. But I think the Broncos need to bounce back and win this game if they really are to be maybe the number two seed in the AFC. So I think the Broncos do it in a tight one.
All right.
Well, I flip-flop on this game all week. First I had the Chiefs in the paper, then I switched it to Denver. Now I'm going back to the Chiefs. So, you know, there's something about Mike Shanahan. I think he wants Plummer out. I think he wants Cutler on that wall. There's something disturbing. We were watching the game in Paul's office, and we were talking about the lack of bootlegs, and then the Kansas City defender said to John Clayton they didn't understand what they were watching on the game film because they only ran two bootlegs in that game. And Clayton said, well, Shanahan wants a drop-back passer. Well, that's not Plummer. So why are you taking out what he does well? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I think this is his last game. The Chiefs win, and Cutler will come in and be the best quarterback since Tony Romo.
Okay, Paul.
Loser.
I, too, like Kansas City in this game. I kind of agree with Andy that I think Denver's a better team, but right now I think that Tom and I talked about this a lot earlier in the year. They were relying so heavily on that defense every game. They just were going out there on offense saying, let's not turn the ball over. Let's not put Jake in any positions to make mistakes. And it was putting an incredible burden on the defense. Well, now you're seeing the downfalls of that approach, because guys are dropping left and right. Nick Ferguson's the latest. He's out for the year, looks like, anyway, with the knee injury. They're starting to get really banged up on defense, and at some point, when you're on the field as often as that unit is, it's going to take its toll, and I think Kansas City is going to find a way to win this game at Arrowhead.
Well, that'd be great. I'd love Denver to lose this game, but I just think Denver is that much better. I think I don't like Kansas City this year. I don't think they're that good a team, so I'm going to go with Denver. All right. Sunday at 1. We move over to Sunday now. But before, there is a big game Saturday night, USC versus Notre Dame, and I'd like to get your predictions for that, just an off-the-record prediction here.
Can you give me the spread?
It's 7.
7?
Is it?
USC.
Latest line for college, and now I got to look down this
it's
big
7.
List.
7. Tom just told you.
And I checked before I came down when I was looking at college football lines.
Okay.
Team of purposes only.
Well, who's favored?
USC.
USC wins big. Notre Dame's a fraud team.
I think USC
wins. All their players are fraud players.
I think USC wins by 10 minimum.
Yeah, I like USC at home. I just think the way their defense is playing, if you look at Notre Dame, they had trouble with UCLA's defense at home. They're not in the same universe with USC. If you can pressure Brady Quinn and he can't throw to his primary receiver, very rarely does he look around. And he usually just takes the sack. I think they pile up 7 to 8 sacks and win by 2 touchdowns.
Okay, I'll go with USC as well.
It's unanimous, off the record.
Okay, Sunday at 1.
I'll be rooting for Notre Dame.
Really?
Not me.
I root for USC all the time.
I know you do.
Why are you rooting for Notre Dame? I thought you weren't a Notre Dame fan.
I'm not, but I like Charlie. You don't.
Sunday at 1.
Anymore.
Arizona at Minnesota. Minnesota is favored by 6 points at home. And let's get a little...
Did you tell me Minnesota was favored by 6 points over someone?
Yeah.
I'm coming out of retirement. That's it. The whole house is going on it.
Okay.
I got nothing for this game except head coach Dennis Green was 101-70 with the Vikings in his first meeting with his former team. It's a crappy note, but it's all the league put out this week. And in a side bet, I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings to win, and I'll take the Arizona Cardinals with the points. I think the Vikings, you know, the home field advantage, two bad teams, all that crap. I don't think Arizona's that good, but Minnesota certainly shouldn't be favored by more than like a point and a half over anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, but how bad are the Cardinals? Are falling apart.
Well, how bad are the Vikings?
The Cardinals have actually won the past 2 months. The Vikings haven't. Look at it this way. There's one thing the Vikings do well, stop the run. Arizona can't run. The Vikings can't stop the pass. The only thing Arizona can do is throw it. I'll take Arizona both ways.
Okay.
Paul. This is one of those games I hate picking. When I'm, you know, it's one thing if two really good teams and you think they're evenly matched to playing and you have a hard time picking it. This is the opposite. Two really bad teams that are evenly matched. I'll take Andy's theory. Minnesota to win, Arizona to cover.
I'm going to take Minnesota both ways. I just think that, you know, right now Arizona, that whole organization is just on, you know, they're looking for a reason to get rid of Dennis Green, and it's just a mess over there. So
I couldn't comprehend Minnesota winning any game by 6 points. They beat the Lions by that much, and they needed 2 defensive touchdowns to do it. So
let me throw 2 names out there. Matt Vasgersian and J.C. Pearson.
Those are the announcers for that game?
Vasgersian is the guy who does baseball and used to do the video games, right?
Yes.
The younger kind of guy.
Yeah.
Who's J.C. Pearson?
Don't know.
That's what Fox thinks about that game. That's the Q crew.
When I had
Fred,
that's the
Fred,
Beasley
did they call
Reese
you?
Crew.
Were you not available? Because I think those guys are worse than you. Did they call you for that game?
All right, let's go on to the next game.
I love when it gets that serious.
Used to have NFL Sunday Ticket, every week there's that one game that you never even stop at. And if your like thing pauses on it, you like go blind. You don't want to see a second of it. That's the game.
All right, Sunday at 1, the Carolina Panthers at the Washington Redskins. Carolina favored by 4, opened at 6. So it drops. It's now at 4.
I think the Carolina Panthers are the better football. Oh, I got to read my note first, huh?
My note
clearly ties into my picks. I got a couple of them here. 6 of 7 in the series decided by 3 points or less. Keep that in mind for when I make my pick. And head coach Joe Gibbs has defeated 29 other teams. Aims for his first victory over Carolina.
All right.
I'm going to take Carolina Panthers to win. I think they're the better football team. You know, they were out of it for a while, seemingly, but they're in the playoff picture, so they still have a chance of making me right with my Super Bowl prediction. And we'll see if that happens. But I will take the Redskins with the points because, as I said, 6 of 7 in the series decided by 3 points or less.
Now, there's a famous story involving me where I lost a lot of
money.
Oh, it was on the front page of a newspaper where I lost a lot of money, and it started this weekend. And it started when things like I found out Carolina was 4-point favorites over Jason Campbell and the Redskins, and I didn't understand, and I threw a lot of money. I don't understand this spread. I'm sure somehow Washington will win. I don't see how. I think Carolina's going to kill them. So I'm going to go with the Panthers.
What newspaper was this?
Don't you worry about
it. I want to hear this. You brought it up.
It was a newspaper. It was a story about my my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear about this.
Was it in the court section?
No, it was on the front page of the Sunday newspaper.
And where?
I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it.
I wrote the story.
What's it about, your gambling problems?
It was about my life in gambling, and how it started this weekend, the weekend of Thanksgiving. And
you were given the front page of the Sunday newspaper?
Oh, yeah. I'm big in certain places.
Wow. This is upstate New York?
This is a jailhouse newspaper?
So, but this was the weekend it started, and it starts with things like that, hearing that Carolina's
That didn't show up on the background check.
You don't do background checks.
It's on the internet. All you have to do is search my name. So apparently,
there's other things about Tom that didn't show up on the background check, I'm sure.
All right.
But I like Carolina big.
You know that girl he was living with in Vermont?
What is he, Bonnie and Clyde?
I like Carolina big both on this one as well. I think that they are in the process of doing what they've kind of been doing the last few years, really struggling early in the year and staggering along, and all of a sudden they put it together, and I think this is the time.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go with Carolina both ways as well on this game.
I'm winning.
Okay, Sunday at 1.
Winning.
Big rivalry game. The Bengals travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns, and Cincinnati is a 3-point favorite. Take it over, beating heart.
This is obviously a game between two teams who share the same state. Series is dead even, 33-33 all time. So they're playing the rubber game here. I'm going to go with the Bengals to win by a comfortable margin. Tough loss for the Browns last week. Had a couple chances on late plays. I did see the replay. I think his foot was out of bounds on that tipped ball that we saw. I just think the Bengals are a better team. They don't always play like it. They can put up a lot of points, and this might be a game where they bully somebody and put up points. But I think they do enough to win either way.
All right, Tom.
Yeah, I think something might have been going on with Palmer and his knee early on because they weren't throwing the ball deep at all. Now all of a sudden, you know, they look like the old San Diego Chargers. They're airing it out all over the place. That tells me he's getting healthy, and if that's the case, I like their offense against the Browns' defense.
Just a quick side note along Tom's thing. Chad Johnson has 450 receiving yards in the last two games. Most two-game stretch since 1970 for a receiver.
Yeah, he's turned it on all
Who
of a
did
sudden.
It?
NFL record for most receiving yards in a... no, it doesn't, Paul. The three-game record is 612 by Charlie Hennigan, Houston, October 13th to 29th in your famous year, 1961.
Charlie Hennigan.
Why is that my famous?
He was big.
Isn't that your senior year of high school? I thought that was your big year.
Oh. This is what really cracks me up. His little peanut gallery that gets such a kick
out of it. No, he just thought it was so funny. Like,
and it would have been ridiculously unfunny had you not giggled like a schoolgirl.
You validated it. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Paul.
I'm stalling for time on this one. I'm going to take Cincinnati and not feel real good about it, both ways.
I'm going to take Cincinnati, but I'm going to take Cleveland to cover. That way, if Cleveland wins, at least I get half of it right.
That's smart thinking.
The Texans play the Jets at the Meadowlands. The Jets are 6-point favorites.
Oh, that's interesting because 5 of the past 6... 7 games in this series decided by 6 points or less, including each of the past 4.
What's this game?
Texans at the Jets.
Houston at the Jets.
And the Texans are getting 6?
Yes.
I'm going to take the Houston Texans on the road with the points. They went...
Can you read that again to me? This is the Texans? Yeah. And they've had five of the last six meetings or something? How many times?
Five of the past seven games decided by 6 points or less.
Oh, five of their games, period.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that you were talking about in the series. I'm no. like, how the heck?
Just Texans.
Could
just
the
Texans.
Houston Texans have played the Jets times. That many times?
No, just five of the last seven and each of the past four.
Okay.
By 6 points
so you,
or less.
You like Houston
so
the
I
Jets
like
to
Houston
win?
To win outright.
Houston to win outright.
Houston.
Wow.
That's right.
That's a courageous pick.
Carr to Andre Johnson. The Jets, these close games, they're going to pack this one in and get upset and cost themselves a potential division title with this somewhat embarrassing loss to an inferior opponent.
Well, I think Andy might be right, because I think sometimes teams have a high point in the season and they kind of go down from there. The Jets could have been beating the Patriots. I'm going to go with the Jets at home, even though Houston's playing well. I think it'll be a close game, and I'll take those 6 points, as Andy pointed out.
I'm going to take the Jets, both sides.
I'm going to take the Jets. Okay. I'm going to take the Jets and the points.
We don't need no stinking analysis from Paul.
That means you're taking Houston?
Houston to cover. You know. All right.
Okay.
But the Jets to win.
You know, Tom, when I give a couple of reasons for my picks, I get made fun of for talking too much.
No, I was making fun of him for not even giving you a chance to
have an
opinion on that.
When I just make a pick and I let it go to Fred, I get made fun of for not analyzing my pick.
No, I was getting on him for jumping all over you before you could spread your wealth.
Barely got your pick out before Fred had the final score of the game.
All right, next game, Sunday at 1.
He's no fun today. He's just all serious.
Jacksonville at Buffalo. And Jacksonville is a 3-point favorite over the Bills.
Jacksonville at Buffalo, 3-point favorite. 4 of 5 in the series, decided by 6 points or less. A lot of series this week that are under, you know, generally under touchdown differences.
I don't know if you know, but most games in the NHL, I mean the NFL.
NHL are decided by less than a touchdown in the NHL. Those rare 10-3 wins.
Just kidding.
Am I wrong on that?
No, you
most
are right.
Most games in the NFL, Fred.
They're pretty close.
Right.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty
close.
Even.
So you tell me that the NFL stats people aren't that creative?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm
Casey
telling
O'Connell
you.
Casey O'Connell do this? Or Burt
Or as Bill Belichick would say, the geniuses over at the NFL.
Right.
That's true. I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars to run all over the Buffalo Bills and win on the road.
They got a pretty good defense, Buffalo does.
No, they don't. Fred Taylor goes for a 170. Book it. Touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I don't agree with that. I think him and Drew will both go for about a 170 or 180 in this game. I think they will run all over them. And I usually don't take Jacksonville on the road, but they're playing an NFC or an AFC East team, and we all know that division stinks. So I'll take Jacksonville.
Okay, Paul.
I'm not as sure. I'm going to take Jacksonville, but definitely not as sure of it as these two.
I'm not sure.
Jacksonville is a strange team. They're an underrated one of those teams that none of us ever gets right. We got it right last week, but basically that was because the Giants were so beat up, we all felt that they would win the game, but except for Fred. I'm going to take Jacksonville, but not feeling as good about it. If there's bad weather in Buffalo, and, you know, who knows? David Garrard hasn't played a lot, certainly hasn't played a lot in bad weather, so you never know what can happen.
I'm taking Buffalo just for that reason. You know, you never know. Jacksonville doesn't play as well on the road as they do at home. You could have bad weather.
Short week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Buffalo in this game outright. Okay.
Good defense.
Let's see. Sunday at 1, the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta favored by 3 points over the Saints. Andy.
Yes, Fred.
Can you give us an article of fact?
I will in a minute if I find an article of fact.
What's New Orleans record, 6-4?
I don't know.
Let's go to the Drew Brees show for this one, coming off 510 yards last week. I saw last night that the world-famous Dr. James Andrews has said it's his best work, fixing
now,
Drew Brees' shoulder.
Let me ask
shoulder.
You a question.
Is there any other orthopedic in the country?
I was going to ask you, is he one of the 10 most richest people richest
he's gotta
people
be.
In
he's
the gotta
world?
He's got to be. Because
I've always joked about it.
Wrestler, baseball
Everybody.
Player, for anything.
I've always said with Paul,
James
it must
Andrew.
Be like you walk into the waiting room there and it's like A-Rod, Drew
right.
Brees, and you know, Bo Jackson, everybody just sitting there waiting to see the
and
guy.
Let me ask you this. How many other orthopedic surgeons do you know where they're located? Because they always tell you,
Zero.
Oh, he's down and out, you know, Birmingham, Alabama
There's,
talking.
Plus it's just random too that he's in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
That's I didn't know that was like too. The hotbed of medical crap or whatever in this country. But, yeah, he apparently has said Drew Brees because it was totally shredded apart, his labrum. A little side note here, Adedra Hart was watching, and John Clayton goes,
the torn labrum muscle. And Miss Physical Therapist chimes in with, "It's not a muscle, you moron!" See why we get along so well. Drew Brees had the ninth 500-yard passing game last week with 510 yards and has 908 passing yards in the past two games, third highest two-game total in NFL history, and he leads the NFL with 3,114 passing yards. Not bad for a guy with a bum shoulder, huh? I am going to take...
Dr. Andrews, by the way, says he'll be even better next year.
Yeah.
It'll feel better and his arm will be actually stronger.
Unless it's tired from throwing this year for 5,000 yards.
I'd just like to be a quarterback or a pitcher who tears his rotator cuff and, you know, Joe Smith performs the surgery. And, you know, you're like an NFL player and, you know, you look around, well, Dr. Andrews didn't do it?
Right. Loser.
What are you, an undrafted
no
rookie?
Cachet? What was the spread in this game?
Three.
Falcons favored by three at home?
Yes.
Atlanta's favored by three.
Interesting. I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons at home. I think these are two comparable teams on a lot of levels. And, they turn the ball over, throwing the ball a lot for the Saints. I think if you do that too much, the Falcons will come after you with that defense. I think that's the kind of thing they'd like to do, just pin their ear backs and go after the quarterback. And I think the bubble has burst on my Saints. I'm not sure the pre-written story of putting them in the Super Bowl.
So the league isn't fixed?
Well, apparently they've lost their pull, and all the pull is now with the mob in Ohio that controls the lottery and college football.
Too many people were talking about how the season was fixed. They had to pull the plug on that.
Right. Once it's obvious. I mean, they slipped up, I think, with the blocked punt, Reggie Bush getting passed over as the first round, popping my peas pick. I think it became too obvious, so they had to pull back a little.
All right. Tom. Well, I guess the Falcons are still in the playoff race. So playoffs, I don't think they'll win another game. I honestly don't. I don't think the Falcons will win another game.
Do you think they're going to go 5-11?
Don't talk about
it.
I think Jim Mora will be fired.
You kidding me?
Fired at the end of the season. And I've watched enough of it to finally form an opinion that I don't think they can go forward with that guy as their quarterback. I just don't think he can play the position. He's not Vince Young. He's just a running back who has a good arm. That's all he is. And I think teams like the Saints who know how to, I thought they defended him very well the first time, and make him throw. Just make, and cover the big guy, the big tight end.
Wait. I thought he was a pocket passer now. I heard some story a couple weeks ago on how great he was.
Every year for two games, he's a great pocket passer. But I just think he's had enough time to develop, and he hasn't developed into anything except a good runner, which he was when he came into the league. So, I like the Saints in this game. I think they outscore them. Plus, it's underrated that the Falcons are one of those teams that are extremely beat up as well.
Beat up, and they're having problems behind the scenes as well. So,
Paul, before I let you pick, just since we were making fun of the crews and the PR department at the NFL all at once, this game is Dick Stockton, Daryl Johnston, and Tony Saragua. I don't know who he is. He's the field reporter.
It's not the A-team, I can tell you that much.
Well, actually, that's their B team.
It is a good team. I just don't know who Saragua is. I thought there was a guy named Siragusa.
That's their number two team behind
Dick Stockton.
Yeah, behind Buck and Aikman. Right,
and they're moosing. They're not booing.
I agree with everything Tom said about Michael Vick. I don't think this team is going to move forward unless they go to Matt Schaub and find out what he can do. But
Michael Vick's an expensive backup quarterback.
I think, obviously you do something to facilitate a move. I mean, you make a trade or you do something.
You well
turn him into a running back.
yeah.
He won't do it, I don't think.
Well, then you gotta make a move. I think, however, that it's all over for New Orleans this year. And, there's more to this, Tom. Nalen got fined $25,000.
Oh, good.
Well played. And they're bitching in Denver, apparently.
Anyway, I'm going to take Atlanta.
He didn't get cuffed.
Atlanta to win this game. I just think that the Saints are becoming a totally one-dimensional team, and you can't do that. I mean, you talked about all those numbers that they have that Drew Brees has put up, and he's having a great year, but he's thrown a ton of interceptions, and all those yards netted him no wins the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to take.
What are you? 500 yards last week and a loss.
And you know what, Paul? We've been high on Sean Payton for what he's done there, but one thing I'll be negative on is Deuce McAllister won't be there next year, most likely. And I don't think they've handled the running. I mean, they've given Reggie Bush five carries a game. You know, if you want to make him a receiver, then fine.
And they keep saying how he's not adapting to the running game in the NFL. Well, give him a shot to.
Yeah.
Either that or, you know, go with McAllister and stop giving, you know.
Right.
Well, I just don't think the four or five carries a game thing works.
Right. That might have worked at USC. Yeah, he scored once every five plays.
Because he was so fast.
He was the best player on the field.
In the NFL, you got to get some carries.
Right. The thing is, McAllister's actually having, you look at the numbers.
Yeah, he's having a pretty good year.
587 yards, 4.3 a carry.
But I just don't think they're getting Bush involved enough in the running game.
I just don't think they're running enough. Why are we throwing so much when we have two? We've invested money in draft picks and the two running backs.
I don't think I think Drew Brees is a good, solid quarterback. I don't think he's one of those guys that you sit there and say, "We got a shot today because we have Drew Brees as our quarterback. We can sit there and let him drop back 40 times and we're going to win." I don't think that he's that kind of quarterback.
Maybe it's because Peyton wants to prove that he wasn't conservative in New York and Dallas.
Well, maybe he got too many of your hate emails over the last couple of years.
How about you just prove you can win?
No, I know. I'm just saying subconsciously, maybe he's saying, you know, let's score points. And
right, so he'll throw for 5,000 yards and be watching the playoffs.
They were 6-2, and I have any idea what their schedule is remaining, but I'm going to pencil them in for 8-8.
All right, I'm going to take all that said, I'm going to take the Saints. All right.
Fred's like Felger. He picks his games like 3 weeks ahead of time and just waits for us to talk.
Sunday at 1, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens are favored in this point by 3 points. Andy, take it away.
This is a game, tale of a couple front runners or bullies or whatever you want to call it. Steelers are 90-1 in their last 91 games when leading by 11 or more points.
Like the Bill Ravens, said.
The Ravens are 50-7 under Billick when leading at halftime. So if the Steelers get a big lead, more than 11 points, it's over. And if the Ravens are winning at halftime, it's basically over. I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think Roethlisberger just making too many mistakes for that offense. Too many interceptions. Tough year. Just, you know, ring this up for an awful year. Forget about it. Come back next year. I think that defense will beat up on him a little bit. I know I'm sure Ray Lewis is probably still out, you know, with that bruised ego that he had to have drained in surgery for getting run over at the goal line. But I think the Ravens win, and impressive 9-2 start to the year after this week.
Well, I think that stat's important because the Steelers have been falling behind every week. And as you pointed out, if you fall behind the Ravens, you usually don't catch up.
Right.
So I like Baltimore at home, but I'm betting that Fred picks the Steelers in this game. Let's see if he does. Go ahead, Paul.
One side number, special teamer Adalius Thomas leads the Ravens with 8 sacks.
I'm going to take Baltimore as well. I do have a question, Fred.
Yes.
Hold off on your picks. Before
I thought you were asking Fred the question.
No, the three of us have all taken Baltimore, so we obviously think that the Ravens are going to win. Let's flip it around and say we're wrong here. If Pittsburgh wins this game, do you think, I'm not saying, but maybe they have
back in the mix.
What do you? Obviously wild
card.
They're
4-6.
More of a wild card.
They're 4-6.
Oh, yeah, well, they're fighting for the wild card.
That's 5-6. Is that wild card
fighting,
contention?
I don't think they would do it. Because too much went their way last year to say, we're going to do it 2 years in a row, even just to get in.
Right, but he's just asking if they're in the conversation.
Yeah, they're in the
conversation.
They're probably only in the conversation because they're Pittsburgh, though, because Miami's really not in that conversation. They're likely to be 5-6 after this week.
Yeah.
Well, I think any team that's 5-6, say the Bengals win, go 6-5, and say Jacksonville loses and go 6-5, that you're all right. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying they're all in the mix there.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Okay, go ahead.
I actually didn't even think about Miami.
Why do you think I'm going to pick Pittsburgh?
Because I know
because it would benefit the Patriots.
It benefits the Patriots.
That's what you do. You pick with your heart.
You're rooting against the Ravens because you want the second seed in the AFC, you're picking Pittsburgh.
That's also why the emailers criticize Andy, Tom, and me for making fun of you because you pick the way they want to happen.
You also are underestimating my hatred of the Steelers.
I know you hate the Steelers.
I'm picking the Ravens in this game.
All right.
Yeah, you're guilting them out of it, Tom.
No. I really do think they're going to win this game. Steelers, they're going to be 4-7 after this week. They're out of it. All right, and plus Steve McNair has made all the difference in the world.
It's amazing.
He really has. He's.
I don't know how many different weeks I'm going to admit I was wrong on that one before you guys let up on me.
Well, what week are we in here? How many weeks till we get to their bounce from the playoffs? We probably got another 2 good months of this, Paul.
Sunday at 1, the final Sunday at 1 game, Francisco at St. Louis. St. Louis is a 5.5-point favorite in this game.
St. Louis is indeed a 5.5-point favorite.
Taylor, two teams going in different directions.
This is actually a pretty good one, I think. 49ers seek their first four-game winning streak against the Rams. They've won three in a row against St. Louis, which would be the best since they won 17 in a row against the Rams from 90 yep. to 98.
That's when they used to call them the same old sorry-ass Rams.
Imagine that, four-game streak, best since 17-game streak. Nothing in between. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers. I think as much as I'm amazed at it and simply just don't get it, Frank Gore is putting up massive numbers. He had the one big half 2 weeks ago before he got dinged up and had to leave. Then he has some ridiculous number last week, whatever it was. And I just think they're running the ball, and I think they run the ball right over the top of the Rams on the way to victory and putting together a little impressive winning streak here that would put them above 500. So maybe the Niners are better than I thought they were at the start of the year.
Well, I think you're right. I think Frank Gore goes for about $150, but I'm going to go with the Rams because I think now a young Niners team has pressure on it. And except for the Lions, who I believe are by far and away the worst team in professional football, they've gotten whooped on the road virtually every week. I think it'll be close. I'm going to take the points with the Niners, but I'm going to take the Rams to kind of buck the trend. I know they're going down, but I'm going to take them to win.
Hey, another interesting broadcast note. Ron Pitts and The Bachelor. Jesse Palmer was The Bachelor,
yeah.
Right? Jesse Palmer. Didn't even know he was in broadcasting.
Did you ever notice all the guys on Fox, you have no idea who they are?
And you know what?
They suck. They have one good guy.
That's another reason why I don't think the games on Fox are anywhere near as good as the ones on CBS.
Now that we don't really hear the games anymore, like I don't hear games anymore, I don't even know that these guys are announcers.
Jesse Palmer, for all I knew, he was bouncing around trying to find a gig somewhere.
Well, I'm going to take San Francisco to pull the upset. I think Tom makes a good point about that up-and-coming team that suddenly is now in the role of kind of expecting to win or having some pressure on it. That's usually a recipe for disaster when the team's not ready, but I think St. Louis is just going in the toilet here, and I just think the Niners have something going here. I think Mike Nolan clearly is a pretty good coach because I don't think that that's an overly talented roster. And maybe Alex Smith is a little bit better than we all thought he was. Last year, I was completely convinced that he had no future whatsoever.
And we should we like to throw the word genius around here. We should give kudos to Norv Turner. I mean, you're talking about Emmett Smith, Steven Davis, Ricky Williams, LaDainian Tomlinson, and now Frank Gore. If you're a running back, you want this guy as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Mike Nolan says that coaching suits him. I'm going to go with...
been waiting for that one all day.
Where was that when you were doing the cover?
I'm going to be going with the 49ers to pull the upset.
Tick, 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 tick.
All right, Gary, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit the 4 o'clock games.
Very funny, you guys.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson.
First round draft day in 2004, took only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free! His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed in helmet and a $400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Mm-hmm. Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. I love you. Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it. But I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me. Turkey for me.
All right. Thanksgiving's coming up tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We're now on the 4 o'clock games here at PFW in Progress. And we'll start with the Oakland Raiders at the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers are 13-point favorites.
Over who?
Over the Raiders. 13-point favorites.
The Chargers are indeed 13-point favorites over the Oakland Raiders.
I guess Al Davis lost another court case last week.
He did?
Yeah.
What was it?
He was suing for like $34 million. Back when...
Well, the problem is, everybody's now moving out of Oakland. San Francisco's moving. Oakland's moving to San Jose. They're going to be the only show in town soon, and apparently it's not a town where you can...
It's not a very good show. That is not a very good show.
But San Francisco is going to Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. Yeah.
Well, that's not a done deal, is
where
it?
Where is...
The A's are going to
San Jose?
I believe it's San Jose. They're building a ballpark a ways
that.
Away.
I knew the San Francisco one.
Now, I don't know if it'll happen. It's one of those things that was announced, and you know how sometimes they announce them, and then you find out a year later that they're not really going to get built, but they've announced it. I like what San Francisco is doing, by the way. They are basically suing the team or something. If you're moving out of here, you're not the San Francisco 49ers anymore. Don't use our name. I like that because the 49ers wanted to do the San Francisco 49ers of Santa Clara.
Well, how far away is Santa Clara from
not
San
in the
Francisco?
NFL. I'm not putting up with that crap.
And I like it by the city. No, if you're not our team, get rid of the name.
Yeah.
How far away is Santa Clara from San Francisco, Fred?
I'm sorry.
I should have known better than to interrupt you while your favorite commercials were on.
It's all D&R wood splitter.
It's all close. It's all part of the Silicon Valley. So,
okay.
Who are you picking?
I really clears it
up. Yeah, I got no idea. Is the Silicon Valley like 100 miles?
Fresno.
Miles?
It's Fresno.
San Jose, Santa Clara.
Okay. I'll take the San Diego Chargers to win outright. And I will, what was it, 13 and a half?
13. Just a 13. Flat 13.
Ooh, that's a big number. I don't like big. I'm going to say the Raiders defense does enough to stay within 13, maybe get a defensive score. I'm going to take the Raiders with the points. Hey, I forgot my fun fact. Raiders, club has not permitted 20 points in 6 consecutive games and has lost the past 2 games by a total of 8 points. Rob Ryan, getting it done out there as the coordinator.
Does your fun fact have anything what LaDainian Tomlinson does to that team when he plays them?
Because
it's downright ugly.
In 11 career meetings versus Oakland, running back LaDainian Tomlinson has 10 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns, and 2 touchdown passes.
I know he averages.
Okay, let's move on.
But I'll take the Raiders, keep it close. As I said, Rob Ryan's defense, big feature about the first family of defense this week in Pro Football Weekly, the Ryan family. And he's getting it done out there, and he keeps them within 13, and that's all I need to be right.
All right, Tom. Jesus, Mini Perillo. God almighty.
Unbelievable. No, I still get made fun of.
Man, he's talking about you. This guy hasn't shut up all day.
Well, he told me I was cranky this morning. Now I'm showing a little energy, and he's
It's nice of him to let us be guests on his TV show on Naked every Tuesday.
And his radio show. He's got his feet up here. I think the Raiders are garbage. I got to hand it to Jim Rome. He was the first person to point out that, which was his name, Art Shell, has headphones on, yet he never speaks during a game. Has anyone ever noticed that? He doesn't say a word, not to the officials, not to, as my father said during his first go-around, those headphones aren't even on. I got to believe that that's true. I think the Chargers win big in this game.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Diego both, too, because of the Tomlinson factor. He really seems to lay it on Oakland. This is the last game for Merriman's suspension. This is the fourth game, right?
You asking me?
Even Fred was surprised you asked him.
Sorry, Fred. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
It was Denver. Oh. It was Cincinnati. This might be the third.
I think there might be one more.
I think this is the fourth. I'm not positive.
It might be. I don't know.
But anyway, I'll take Tom's theory and go with the Chargers. Sooner or later, Oakland's going to get blown up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, is it me now?
Yeah, when I stop, that's usually
your I'm going to go with San Diego both ways. They're going to cover this game. They're going to just completely annihilate them. All right. Sunday, 4:15. We'll skip over the Patriots. We'll go to the Giants at Tennessee. As we know, the Giants are banged up, but they're still 3-point favorites on the road against Tennessee. Andy.
Running back Tiki Barber, who you may have heard is retiring, has led his team in rushing for 74 consecutive games, longest streak in history. I don't know if that means team history or league history. So these are a little vague at times, but it's impressive either way. I'll take the New York Giants to win. I'd love to be rooting for my boy Vinsanity for the upset here. I just don't. What was the spread?
3.
That's a little too close for my liking. I know the Giants aren't playing well. This is the remedy for that. Vinsanity won't be throwing balls up into the middle of the end zone to Ben Troop, who's now out for the year. And I'll take the Giants.
Okay. Tom?
Well, the public's going to be all over Carolina and New York this week, gambling-wise. That's a given, because those lines are low. I'm going to go the opposite this time. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think they're playing hard. I like Vince Young here because the defensive ends are injured and they can't bring that pressure from the outside. And I also think that their defense can blitz Eli Manning. And I'll tell you what, there's some trouble in New York with him and Coughlin because the fans aren't happy with neither one of them. And if they lose this game, watch out.
Paul.
So you got Tennessee to win?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I want to take the upset because I just think the Giants are too banged up right now to do any damage, especially against an AFC team. I'm going to go with the whole thing here. I'm a buyer. The AFC-NFC thing, I'm a buyer. And unless you're truly elite and the Giants aren't, I'm going to go with the AFC team.
Well, Giants were my preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl, but the bottom fell out of that. For a while, it was looking good, but they're just too banged up. Tom mentioned they got some problems with the coach and the quarterback and the media and the fans. And I'm going to go with Tennessee, AFC team, playing tough. Jeff Fisher, whether he stays at Tennessee or moves on, he's making a statement about his ability to coach in the NFL, even with a bad
team. Let me ask you guys. My father, who's a big Giant fan, pointed out, he said, that Eli Manning, have you ever seen a guy who doesn't look like he wants to be on the field more than him? I've noticed that since he brought it up a few weeks ago. He doesn't talk to anybody.
He plays scared.
He just stands around on the sidelines.
It's funny because he wanted to be in New York so badly.
But on the sidelines, he's never talking to anybody.
Well,
they just show him with his head down.
He's a loser.
Bledsoe never talked to anybody.
He's a born loser like his brother, but
he would,
his brother's
he would stand
likeable.
Apart from the huddle.
I don't think it's...
That's during TV timeouts when they're getting the play that every other quarterback in the league does.
I'm talking about... We talk about the Peyton loser look. Eli seems to have it on his face permanently.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Quick trivia question to the three in our
we
gotta
hurry.
Panel here. Real quick, can you name the kicker for the Titans?
Yeah, it's that Baranis.
Yeah, Rod Baranis.
I've never even heard of him before in my life.
Okay.
Fred, could you have named him?
No.
Thanks.
Sunday, 8:15. Now, I'll bet you NBC wishes they had the Patriots and Bears because McNabb's out.
No question.
And the Colts have lost the game. So.
No question. Next year will only be a six-day window that they have to get for the flex schedule.
Right. So this is the flex game. The Eagles at the Colts. Indianapolis. I'm looking for this line here. Where is it?
It says no line, I bet.
Indy, 9-point favorites.
Okay. Game features NFL's top two head coaches with best November records since 2000. Eagles' Andy Reid is 21-7. Colts' Tony Dungy, 21-7. I'll take the Indianapolis Colts to win and cover. I think they put up big, big points. Bounce back at home. And just defense might even make some plays against Garcia. And I think this is a blowout.
Yeah.
I like the Colts big. They win by three touchdowns easy.
Yeah. Paul? Colts.
Same.
Yeah, Colts all the way around here. All right, this Monday night game, 8:30, Green Bay at Seattle. Seattle, even this year, they're falling apart.
Well, Hasselbeck's back.
Is he back now? Well, we'll see. Seattle, I'm assuming that they're the favorite.
I like Seattle both ways.
While you're looking, I'll give my fun fact. Interesting, stars from both teams started with the other team. Amon Green.
Believe it
third
or not.
Third round pick by the Seattle Seahawks and Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, there's no line.
Sixth round
no line on this game, so Fred will have to make the line in this. I'm going to make Seattle a touchdown
favorite.
Touchdown,
I don't care
7
what you
points.
Make them. I'll take Seattle.
I'll take Seattle both ways.
Did you
as
get
well.
That, Paul? 7 points?
Yeah,
here's our putrid.
Seven.
All right.
After watching that game last week, I could not pick Seattle over River High. I mean, Green Bay over River High.
Right.
Seahawks.
I'll go with
Cambridge.
The Seahawks as well.
All right,
both
let's go.
Ways. Okay. With the 5 minutes we have left in the show, let's bounce back to 4:15 on Sunday. Chicago at the Patriots, and they've got the Patriots as 3-point favorites in this game. Andy.
Under head coach Lovie Smith, the Bears have now won 19 of their last 22 games on a roll. And they'll continue to roll this week at Gillette Stadium as Brian Urlacher and that speed-based defense
Brian Urlacher
runs all over the new turf at Gillette Stadium and puts a whooping on your Patriots and wins by 4 points, 21-17 in a game that may not be that close. Late score makes it close, but physically, the Bears dominate.
Actually, the Patriots...
said 5 minutes, not 15.
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Well, that'll be a nice stat next week when you say they've won 19 out of 23 games. It'll still work.
I'll still use it, too.
I like the Patriots easy in this game. I mean, I don't know if the score, like Andy said, the score will show it easy, 20-10 around there, but I think they control the game. They force Grossman into a bad game, and I like the Patriots
just
to
a
win.
Quick addition to the end of Tom's pick. For those of you in the New England area, if the Bears win this game, tune in New England Cable News next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Tom Casale will be wearing a Bears jersey and Vince Jim McMahon-like headband.
Jim McMahon. I'll
and,
be dressed
and the glasses
with the sunglasses and everything. I'll do the Super Bowl shuffle.
Okay.
I, too, like the Bears.
Reason to root for the Bears in this one.
Not as much as Andy seems to like them, but I just think that kind of a defense... You know, and the big question mark is how overrated is this defense based on the NFC? But that defense, I think, is geared to giving the Patriots some trouble with the size and speed of the guys up front, the linebackers in particular. Bill talked about it a lot today. Close game, though, 16-13. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be like Andy says where, you know, it's a blowout by 4 points.
Well,
you did say
a late score makes it a physical blowout. I meant.
I think
it's going to be a nip and tuck game, and I think the Patriots make a mistake in the second half that tips the scales in Chicago.
You're saying the defense is overrated?
That's my one.
So they're not comparable to the 85 defense. I mean, how many points did they give up? These guys got to give up 120.
They're not in any way.
We were talking about that earlier.
The Patriots have a secret weapon in this game. They have the new turf. What they're going to do is they're going to spread fish oil on the turf. It's going to remind Brian Urlacher of Paris Hilton, and that's going to distract him. And,
oh my God.
And that will be the key to this game. I say Patriots win 19-10 in this game. And
well, and I got one more pick. I like Texas A&M big this week.
John Rook, what do you have to say about that?
You lying, you asshole.
I do like Texas A&M.
You like A&M?
Yeah.
You
I like it.
Lying your ass off.
That's right. I like A&M in the points, but I like Texas.
Yeah, I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah.
John, how you doing?
Excellent. Happy Thanksgiving, Phillip.
You too. You getting ready for it?
I had to get you back for yesterday.
You got a big Thanksgiving plan?
Fish oil.
No. Nothing huge.
No.
You know, it's typical stuff. Little family at home. A lot of football on the tube. That's the way we like it. Tremendous.
Okay.
That's the way we like it.
Now, you
John, we're polling all of our listeners today. Yes. Do you like the three games on Thanksgiving? Fred would like to know. Would you rather have just two, or do you like the third game?
Well, the third game's great. Gives me something else to watch at night.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. But
he's still bitter.
Although
he can't watch the BC Miami
watching
game.
BC. Although those vaunted BC Eagles are playing, so I have to do the little flick flick thing.
It's nice
too
to
much.
See
it's
another former Eagle doing good last week. Tom Nalen with the vicious cheap
shot. Yeah, wasn't that
shot
great? Wasn't that beautiful?
Oh, that was
and then
tough.
I guess I don't remember who did the play by play or the color on that one. Do you remember? I believe it was whoever the analyst was. Was it Madden? Yeah. Somebody was talking about how I'd be embarrassed to be from that guy's school. And I just started laughing.
That's what I like about John.
Ooh.
By the way, I heard
I don't think it was Madden.
Your boys lost to Brown?
Oh, God, it was. That was one of the worst.
Providence lost to Brown?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was one of the worst athletic.
Weren't you on here talking about how good they were going to be?
They beat fairly ridiculous by 80-something points.
I totally agree. I thought they were going to be that way. And then they threw up one of the all-time stinkers that I have ever seen in 20 years of doing Big East basketball. I have never seen a team that was as inept and could not hit the ocean with the basketball. It was that bad.
That's
and it just goes to show you on any given night, my man.
Providence
on any given night.
They always drop an early game to some team that they should never.
They always lose one. It's just like Boston College always loses one to a team they should beat.
19 every year.
Right, Paul?
Or at least one in football.
At least one in football. And they did again this year.
So there wasn't a lot of.
We lose to Miami, by the way, on Thursday.
Which would just be great.
Not a lot of peanut butter
and jam
the other night.
So that Wake Forest Maryland game doesn't mean a thing. That would just be great.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I want to wish everyone, on behalf of everyone here, a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. We'll see you on Tuesday after the Patriots' big win against the Bears.